As I was praying, I believe the Lord gave me some clarity that He wants spoken, and we're going to trust the Spirit of God to do that. Amen? As we've gone through a real challenge as a nation, an election that I believe made history, amen, and going to make history, you know, when the church prays, they're no longer pray, P-R-E-Y. And if we don't really know how to battle in the Spirit, we're at a very great disadvantage because we're not wrestling with flesh and blood. Amen? I mean, I've never seen such things. On Facebook, I've been called, I won't even say what they call me, but let's just say it wasn't nice. One was a homosexual activist and another center city person called me a racist. And I said, that's not going to work too good when we birthed the first African church in East Europe. That's just not going to work too good. Isn't it amazing how people speak out of their hurt and their hate? The church can't do that. How many hear what I'm saying? The church can't do that, or we're ignorant. And the Bible says, don't be ignorant. We've got to speak out of the heart of God. Amen. And as an overseer of a church in San Francisco, I've learned you've got to share the gospel in a way that it will attract and not distract from. And we've got to share Christ in a powerful way. But that doesn't mean we abdicate our role in society, because we're called to be the light and the salt of the earth. Amen? And Jesus is not coming for a destroyed church. He's coming for a glorious church. Oh, hallelujah. Now, here's this thing before we go any further. Do we have a revelation of who we are in Christ? Because here's where the ungodly don't get it. We're not in Adam. Through the cross, we're redeemed. How many are glad we're redeemed? We're not in Adam. Now, I understand when Adam has riots and bitterness and lack of unity, because that happened from the Tower of Babel. Because we're not in Adam, we're in Christ. We're in the new man. Are you glad we're in the new man? We're the redeemed race, and we're the only race that's going to be in eternity. We're not in Adam. Now, if we get in Adam, that's what the devil wants. Nehemiah said, I'm doing a great work, and I'm not coming down. How many can say, I'm not coming down? I'm not going to be suckered into a realm where Satan prevails. Because when Nehemiah was challenged to come down, it was to the plain of Ono. O-N-O. And that word means the place where the enemy has ascendancy over you. If you go down to Satan's level, you get beat up. But if you stay in the heavenlies with Christ, in the Spirit, you beat him up. Amen. May we understand that. I said, may we understand that. May we learn how to war a good warfare. Amen. So here tonight, just having introduced myself like that, hallelujah, we want to look at what the Lord was saying, and I want to go to 1 Timothy to start off. As leaders, I don't have any idea where we're going to go altogether. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 19. Here was Paul challenging those that were with finances, with riches. It says in verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. They do good, be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to share, communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. I want to talk about strengthening your foundations. Strengthening your foundation. If you're going to go where God wants you to go, and if you're going to become what God wants you to come, you've got to make sure your foundation is strong enough, deep enough, wide enough. Without a right foundation, you're going to be limited. Now, I want to say this. It doesn't matter where you live geographically. It doesn't matter your education. It doesn't matter your upbringing. It doesn't matter your background. It does matter the condition of your heart. And it does matter the way you position yourself towards God. Now, may I say this? One of the reasons so many groups cannot have impact is their foundation's too weak. Now, if you put 100 tons on something that was plywood, a builder would tell you it's going to disintegrate. I want to build churches, marriages, relationship, the next generation under such a foundation, Satan cannot come with any weight or pressure and destroy it. But we will see in a few minutes, this is such a necessity. Strengthening your foundation. I said strengthening your foundation. Strengthening your foundation, church. Because God has more for you to build. God has greater heights for you to go. God has more weight for you to carry. God has more spiritual adventures for you to get into. God has more people for you to save. Now let me just share with this so it can be reality here. May I do that? What would happen if you had 1,000 people saved next week and they came in here? Do you have the strong enough? Do you have a strong enough foundation to take care of them? Or in a year's time, would most of them be gone? Wonder if all of a sudden you're not dealing with demons, but you're dealing with principalities. Is your foundation strong enough? Wonder if the devil attacks you with a major disease that the doctor says there's no way out. I've experienced these various things, by the way. Is your foundation strong enough to handle that? You see, I want to say this. By the grace of God, God wants to release the necessary spiritual substances to work in us so our foundation doesn't have major cracks. So that we're not going to find out we're tilted in the wrong direction. Now, I learned, first of all, about foundations when I knew nothing about them. That's a good time to learn. Hallelujah. I bought a church building, and I was so dumb in construction and carpentry, I didn't know I was dumb, and that's dumb. So we bought this thing because God led us to do it. It was all this acreage and a building no one wanted because it was landlocked. There was no way to get to it. The neighbors wouldn't give an easement. And they had dug the foundation too deep and backfilled it too soon. And all of a sudden, thank God, it got full of water. And then it was very cold. It was near Canada. It froze year-round. There was about 5 foot of ice in the basement, which kept the building from collapsing because the walls, 1, 2, 3, 4 of them, were about ready to come in but couldn't because of the ice. That's what you call foundational problems. And I didn't know anything about it, but I had some guys who were lumberjacks, and they'd been in construction work. They had solutions. They got these 300-pound iron posts, and they dug real deep and sunk it in concrete and all around it. And we had to take out a whole foundation wall and put in these salamanders and scorch out that whole basement. And the ice about by August melted. And then our foundation was strong enough to take the weight that was above. Most of the people that are not succeeding in ministry, it's not the enemy, though that's involved. It's not a lack of education, because we can always learn more. But their foundation's too weak. And when the pressure comes, when the attacks come, when situations come that need divine solutions, their foundation is so flimsy that they crack under. Because I want to tell you this. I believe the emotional and psychological health of Christians is night and day. I work mostly with leaders. And I believe God wants leadership healthy. Spirit, soul, and body. My God. You know, a lot of the people I know in the South, and my father was from Mississippi, I'm talking in church leadership, they don't trust anybody. I said they don't trust anybody. Now, if you live in mistrust, you're not healthy. Hello. For example, if a husband and wife don't trust each other, that's not the best marriage. Right? But if believers don't trust each other, that's not a healthy church. If pastors don't trust their committed people, it's not a healthy church. And yet, often leaders' kids have been major targets of the powers of darkness, and they come out of it with wounds, and church wounds, and father wounds, and mother wounds, and their own wounds, and that's a big wounded mess. And then we walk in denial, and we say we don't have any wounds. Because we got to be spiritual, right? Kind of like Adam and Eve, they wore fig leaves. And I stopped going to conferences years ago where all the ministry wears fig leaves. Because I don't want to see anything I don't want to see. Hallelujah. No, I want people to be real. Amen. Do you want to be real? Amen. Do you want to be real? Yes. Because if we aren't being real, our foundation, hear me, you hear a lot about fake news. How about fake foundations? How about fake relationships? How about fake Christianity? You see, we're dealing in a society right now, the millennial crowd, they know what fake is. Because most of them are. I just thought I'd say that. But they know what fake is. You've got to have the real deal to take care of the fake deal. Because the answer to the counterfeit is not studying the counterfeit, it's having the genuine. I know quite a lot about witchcraft, but I don't study it, know it by experience, because that's not going to work. The way to deal with witchcraft is have so much of the anointing that witchcraft comes unglued. Foundation. How strong is our foundation? How much weight can you take? That is spiritual pressure. How strong is your relational foundation? Who surrounds you at the wrong time to make sure you're not coming down? Now, a pastor I knew, he had a lot of influence over other pastors, and he said, I go to all these conferences, and pastors tell me I have no friends. Because unfortunately they made the ministry a profession, not a lifestyle. And they were taught in their schools, always distance yourself from your people, because if they find out about you, they might not love you or like you or support you. You see what a deception that is? I said, do you see what a deception that is? Because if we're not real, we're in deception. And if we're in deception, God can't bless deception. And most of the problems in the world today are not economic, and they're not racial, and they're not financial, and they're not physical. Most of the problems in the world today, the root of it, are relational problems. And the church has to lead the way. How strong is our relational foundation? And this can be very challenging because if we grew up in the type of homes that I grew up in, our relational foundation went from insane and too hard to explain. And family gatherings was who could cuss the loudest, who could scream the loudest, who could show the most bitterness. And then, of course, we'd go to, would you call it church? No, they didn't preach the gospel. We'd go to a religious place and acted like we had it all together. None of us were believers then. The world is looking for the genuine. I said, the world is looking for the genuine. If our foundation, which is Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, is strong enough, deep enough, secure enough, wide enough, we're going to have such a harvest because God's getting ready to do the unusual. Yes, He is. I used to really hate San Francisco because a family member got involved in perversion, homosexuality, and I hated that place. I couldn't stand that place, and I thought something was messed up with that place till God came in my car one day driving there with a pastor that's starting a new church, and I realized nothing was wrong with San Francisco. Something was wrong with me. And, you know, His presence came in and out went my heart for San Francisco and in came His heart. And ever since then, I can't explain this, but all these homosexuals and lesbians come to me because there's nothing in me against them. I'm against their demons. I'm against their sin, but I'm for them as a people. Amen. My foundation went deeper. How many of you want your foundation to go deeper this year? My God, if we don't go deeper in our foundation, we're going to be the same way next year or worse than we are now. I'm challenged because I remember a leader in New York State told me, it must have been 25 years ago or longer. He said there was this old man, one of the leaders of the Pentecostal movement in North America. He got filled with the Spirit in 1906 or something like that, 1907. One of the first ones on the East Coast. And they said towards the end of his life, he lived way out in the middle of nowhere. He was in his 80s. But people would come to him and spend a weekend with him, and their life would never be the same. He had such a deep foundation and such a deep place in Christ and such a manifest presence on his life and moved so much in the Spirit. When he'd opened the Scriptures, it was in a way that few people ever could. And there was such a deep foundation in his life that I read one of his sermons decades after he was gone, and it changed my life forever. Do you want to go deeper in God? Do you want to be a church that has a deep corporate foundation? Because I want to tell you this. Unfortunately, one day people like Pastor Jerry and I are going to be out of here. Let's say, how old am I? Let's say 20, 30 years from now, we're gone. Or before. If you build a right foundation, a corporate foundation. Long after we're gone, it should be doing better. But look at the biblical principle. When Jesus left the world, he built such a foundation, it didn't look like it, but he did, among those 12 men, that he only did a little work in Jerusalem. By the time of the first century, they'd carried the gospel all the way to China. All the way to India, all the way to Egypt, all the way to Spain. My God, I want to build something when I'm gone. It goes where I've never gone and does what I've never done, because a foundation that's laid in the lives of men and women is not supposed to keep them where they are in us, with us, but supposed to take them way beyond us. Foundation. Strengthening your foundation. Now, it's very easy for me to tell you what's wrong with your life if I'm close enough to you for a few weeks. Hallelujah. But since that's not God, well, hallelujah. Well, I know, and one of my first experiences when prophetic things really got manifest in me, I was in a pastor's house, and I grew up with this girl, and I was in the kitchen, she'd go to the living room. I'd go to the living room, she'd go to the kitchen. I'd go where she was, she'd go to the basement. After a few days of that, I realized she was trying to escape. So I said, called her by name, I said, I'll tell you what, I won't tell you your sins if you don't tell me mine. Hallelujah. Got something to hide? By the grace of God and the blood of Jesus, we've got nothing to hide.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Foundation. I said foundation. God wants to do something so big in this nation that this generation hasn't yet seen it. But we've got to have the foundation that can sustain a supernatural move of God. Now, I was at both places, and I appreciate wherever God moves, however He moves. I was at Pensacola, and I was at Toronto. But here's the difference between the two places. Pensacola, it was one man preaching the gospel, Steve Hill, very powerful, people got saved, da da da. There were some around him. But here was the unique thing at Toronto. Before they ever had a move of God there, the pastor had made a covenant with God. If he ever moved in his church, he wouldn't ever touch what God would do, because he made that mistake years before and the Spirit lifted. And so he trained, hear me, 80 people, just people in the congregation, very trained how to pray for the sick, how to cast out devils, how to deal with people, how to on and on and on. And then God poured out His Spirit, and the team grew to 200. With those 200 people, millions of people came from all over the world, and the pastor, sometime in the midst of that outpouring of the Spirit, wasn't there for a month. You know why? The foundation wasn't on one man's shoulders. The foundation was on the whole body. And we've got to get rid of some concepts that guarantees we're going to stay small. How many hear that? If we only have one person that can prophesy well in a church, that's not healthy when dozens come in, hundreds come in. If we only have one person that can deal with evil spirits, that's not good. One person that can counsel marriage. We've got to have so many people ready for the harvest that we're not going to burn out in the harvest. We've got to have so many people ready that we're not just praying for things that are fantasy, but we're praying for things that are reality, because God sees a foundation that's not going to blow what He gives them. So there was a church in Toronto, and I knew some of its leadership fairly well because we lived a few hours from them at that time. And the move of God went on for 10 years. And then what was the fruit of it? Hundreds of new churches. What was the fruit of it? Thousands of new churches in Africa. Fruit that remained because their foundation was something that could carry on without being a thing that burned someone out or something that people had to hide. They were very emphatic about being real, about getting healed, about relating well. Their focus was not on a particular man, but on teamwork and on the Lord's presence. You see, we can have concepts that worked in the 90s that no longer are effective. And the question is, are we willing to get rid of them? You know, we can be singing songs that don't carry the anointing anymore. My son, who's now been a pastor, imagine this, for going on 12 years, informed me that the way you take up money with the millennial crowd is very different from the way you can do it with people my age or in their 50s or even 40s. Because the millennial crowd, if you put any pressure on them for money, you don't see them anymore. Of course, some of them I don't want to see anymore. But anyhow, you can't see them anymore. Are we willing to change not the message, but are we willing to change the method? Because if we get addicted to a method, I don't care what our message is, people aren't going to listen to us. And that's why often God has to raise up new movements, because former movements get so stuck that they become spiritual dinosaurs. Prehistoric. Going extinct, and they don't even know it. You can talk so weird that the world can't understand you. Let me give you an example. I was in a place, let's just call it Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, since that's where it was. And I went out to eat with the pastor afterwards, because you know that's a sacred, what would you call it, act for preachers, going out to eat after you minister. So I was in this restaurant, and all of a sudden the waitress started really opening up to the gospel and was asking questions, and I felt she was really close, almost ready to receive Christ, until the preacher I was with opened his mouth, and this is what he said. I thank God I've been saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said, never, got real spiritual, never has alcohol touched this mouth. Neither has cigarette ever been in these lips. She looked at him like, what planet have you come off of? Washed in the blood, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. The world doesn't understand that. We got to begin to speak the gospel in language that people can grasp and that they want it. Because hear me, self-righteousness is not exactly a quality of spirituality. That wasn't my testimony. Anything I could smoke, drink, or that wasn't nailed down, I consumed. Hallelujah. But that doesn't mean anything. But I want to, at 66, still be able to talk to people in their teens in a way I don't seem like some alien from outer space. What is your foundation? Is it religious? Or are you someone that's moving in not the great I was or the great I will be, but the great I am? And sometimes it amazes me. People say, well, it won't work here. It won't work here doing that or that. And someone comes from the outside of the area and starts a church and works. Doing what they said wouldn't work. May God open our eyes to foundational truth and foundational strategies that we're lacking. You say, well, what are they? If I fully knew, they wouldn't be lacking in me either. See, we've got to get humble on our face and say, God, in our personal foundations, what's holding us back from expansion? Because when I tell you about 1,000 people getting saved, imagine if you had this in a movement. 3 years in a row, my friend in Cambodia had 500 new churches being started every year. And a lot of the pastors couldn't read or write. Well, how'd they learn the scriptures? They listened to them on solar-powered CDs, CD disc, and they memorized the Bible that way. But you say, well, how could they ever pastor anyone memorizing the Bible? Well, since they were getting thousands of people saved, thousands of people healed, and recorded instances of raising the dead, I think they're pretty well qualified. Until we can do all the above or some of the above, we have nothing to tell them. Oh, hallelujah. But here's the thing about my friend. He got a revelation from God that if he was going to have success over there, he had to be like a sinkhole, unseen. And he had about 15,000 when God spoke that to him. And he wrestled for days, finally said, all right, Lord, I'll be unseen. And the Lord told him, from henceforth, you will never preach in your churches. Imagine dying to that. I like to preach, no offense. I like to preach. But imagine being told the churches that you're the apostle over, the leader over, you can't preach in them. And this is what the Lord told him to do. You teach the preachers by hearing them how to preach better. So the reason he's able to now have 6,000 churches in 17 years, he got a foundational revelation how to activate leadership and how to mobilize people quickly to fill the roles God was going to bring them into. So when they had 1 million people come to Christ in 17 years, that didn't become statistics. The fruit remains. Do you hear, in America, we've got some foundational issues in all our churches that have to be quickly changed. Because God doesn't want us to have a few people saved. God wants whole cities coming to Christ. Now, if in the book of Jonah, a whole city turned to Christ, and in the book of Acts it did too, and in the book of Revelation, the book of Zechariah talks about the nations of them that are saved, I don't want to see that happen when I'm gone. How many of you want to see whole nations turn to Christ in this generation? Whole cities turn to Christ. Well, what would happen if the whole city of Camden got saved next year? Do we have a foundation strong enough to sustain that type of growth? And may I say, most of the places I know in North America, they don't. Because it's the chosen or frozen few. Now, I say that because I believe you've just scratched the surface of what God's going to do here. Amen. But to go further and to go faster, we've got to examine our foundation and hear me. I'm not just talking about groups that are part of denominations or independents. Every group needs to get on their face and say, God, what are we doing to limit you? What am I doing to limit you? What area of our personal life is a limitation? Most of the people that are destroyed in new church plants, it's because of marriage. Their marriage was too weak for the satanic attack that came. How many of you understand when you get doing something for God, there's coming satanic attacks? And the more you do, the greater the attack. So we got to make sure marital foundations are strong enough. And I'm thank God for the grace God gave me. I shouldn't have made it, but I did. But there's a better way of pure grace. I made it. God wants us to understand that if people go to Bible schools and don't get strong foundational doctrine, strong foundational morality, strong foundational ethics, strong foundational prayer, strong foundational submission to authority, they're a casualty, not that's going to happen, it's just a time waiting for sure it's going to happen. Foundation. You know, if I'm going to build something that's going to be a chicken coop, my foundation can be rather weak. If I'm going to build a skyscraper, I got to go pretty deep.
Amen.
If I'm going to build something that's just a local church of a couple hundred people that never grows, the foundation doesn't really have to be that deep. But if I'm expecting to start dozens or hundreds of churches, we got to go deep. I said we got to go deep. We got to have, like Paul wrote to Timothy to tell people, he said, we got to have a good foundation against the time to come. In other words, a foundation that's willing to change, a foundation that's strong enough, a foundation that's deep enough, a foundational that's not national, but kingdom. Now, I have a friend, he was preaching, I won't say where, in a particular part of the Caribbean. And in this part of the Caribbean, they beat their wives a lot. It's, quote, culture. And one pastor stood up when my friend was preaching against that, saying you got to treat your wives, it's demonic what's going on, it's wrong. And a pastor stood up and said, well, can't we just beat our wives some? Hello! Talk about cultural blindness. I wouldn't have to worry about my daughters. They'd have shot them the first night. Hallelujah. But anyhow, can you see how cultural things can blind us? Now, I can see how dark that is because that's not my culture. But can we say there's things that go on in our culture that are just as dark? We just haven't defined it as darkness yet. I mean, in California, when there's people who have been in churches 20 years and claim to be Christians, and they're still for abortion, and they're still for demonic perversion, sexual perversion, and think that's called tolerance, my God, those people's foundation is really thin, on sand all the way. And we've got to really let God turn on the light, because I don't want junk in my personal foundation, because I'm not called to be a featherweight or a lightweight. I'm called to be a heavyweight in the Spirit. And hear me, by the grace of God, all of you are. Because leadership, you got to be able to carry not just your issues, but the issues of others. You know, I've had friends that said, well, you know, I've really got this vision and this. I just can't stand people. Man, they just don't need counseling. They need deliverance plus. Hallelujah. But anyhow, we want to go now to the next scripture here tonight. Luke chapter 6. We want to lay this in. Your foundation. Where you want to go by next year. Your foundation. Where you want to go in 5 years. Your foundation. Do we have direction from heaven for a church movement the next 50 years? Because the Roman Catholic Church has a 50-year vision. The communist movement had a complete vision from Marx and Lenin and Hegel and all the founders of the communist movement. What they wanted to do in the nation, it's an ongoing satanic plan, but many churches have no vision beyond just their daily needs. But God wants that to change. We've got to have a vision, because in any vision that came from God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, went beyond their life. They passed it on to the next generation. So not presumption, but what is God saying, the direction of this ministry, churches you're starting, what is God saying is going to happen in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 50 years, should Jesus tarry? Why should we let the devil's people have long-term plans and we don't? Because I remember when God started moving on me to go for Europe, and then He turned it Eastern Europe, then He turned it into Russia, then I started saying Asia, and that opened up, and now the Middle East is a focus. Now that's my call, but all of you have specific calls, and all of you have specific parts to play in this place, if you're identifying with this movement here, because how many know God doesn't want this to be a local church that's codependent on your pastor? God wants this to be a church planting movement. And that means you're not going to stay dysfunctional forever. Now, I was dysfunctional. I know what that's all about. The only time I heard God mentioned in my home was when the word damn was with it. I didn't know anything about God. I didn't know anything about morality. I knew a lot about dysfunctionality. And so when I got saved, they had to tell me, hey, look, when you're out witnessing, you don't want to cuss at the people you're witnessing to. I was so dumb, I didn't know I was dumb, and that's dumb. But my heart was on fire for God. I just had junk that had to change. And you know, Pharisees, they got their words all right, and they got their mannerisms okay, but their hearts are not right. But let's look here what Jesus said in Luke 6, verse 47. Whosoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I'll show you whom he's like. Notice this, verse 48 of Luke 6. He's like a man which built a house, and what did he do? Put it all on the surface, because you know that soil, that hard pan, that was kind of tough to go through, and he didn't want to get his hands all blistered. Is that what it says? No, it says this. Notice this. He dig deep. I don't know about you, but I sure know when God's digging deep in me. And I don't like the equipment, some of the people He brings into my life to dig deep in me. Hallelujah. I knew a woman. She was a great soul winner. She's now in heaven. She had a burden for a woman. Boy, how God started digging deep in her. This woman, I think it was 2 years, every night, 2 o'clock in the morning, would call her. Freaking out with demonic stuff. Because the woman that was calling her, when she was born, her mother took her and threw her in a dumpster. And her grandmother found her near dead, raised her. That's what type of garbage she grew up in. But here was a woman so full of darkness, witchcraft and everything else. But an older saint permitted God to dig deep in her through this interaction. And within a several year period, this woman that was so messed up got saved and carried such an anointing to reach souls. The reason some people don't have a strong foundation, hear me. The reason certain movements don't have a foundation that's going to do anything, God hasn't yet dug deep in them. Because they've got, and you can do this, they have a sign they've put out. No trespassing. God says, wait to see what I'll do. And they have private areas of their life. Off limits to everyone. They won't allow any depth to get in their life. And may I say this, when we're talking about foundation, it's not a theoretical thing. It's really people that God has dug deep in. and they're willing to do what God wants them to do. They're willing to go where God wants them to go. They're willing to be what God wants them to be. And He releases the grace to accomplish that. Because when God wants to go deep in your life, I want to tell you, when it's in process of happening, you want to get out of it sometime. At least I have. God, why have you put me in this little Roman Catholic village where I went, at that time I was an evangelist, I liked crowds, money, and everything that went with it. Here God put me in this village, and I said, what have you put me here for? And I thought He put me there to kill me. And He did, to kill certain things that would have hindered me from what I'm doing today. Because I don't care if I'm dealing with 5 people or 5,000 people. I'm still going to give it much prayer. Because in those 5 people, there might be leaders that are going to do things beyond the 5,000. Because I believe when Jesus took care of 12 people, it was real good fruit that came out of that. But things were done in me, a depth. And hear me, I didn't choose that place. In fact, I'd have chosen not to go. In fact, I tried to choose to not go out to that place. Can you imagine, you're preaching a church, and you're working out of a church, and there's a woman in the back always showing up, and she said, I want to talk to you. And here's my tremendous response. I don't want to talk to her, so I'd always get out of there. But somehow, it was before the days of internet, she got my phone number. And I started getting all these calls. Will you come to my village and minister? No. Will you come? No. Just to get rid of her, I went. I didn't know what God was up to. Have you ever been in something you don't know what God's up to? And so to get rid of this woman, I went there for one meeting on the way to another city. And I came into this building. You can maybe see 150 in it. And this is how people were preparing to hear from the man of God. They're all smoking. They were totally unchurched, had never heard the gospel. There was no gospel church in that whole region. And here I showed up there, and I didn't know what was going to happen, because if I did, I would have bypassed that place big time. But we had 40 people come to Christ. And there was this broken down, dead Baptist church. They had about 8 people after 20 years. I was going to drop them off there. And then I made a mistake. I said, I want my wife to see this. Took her there. You know what she said? Oh, Bill, I feel there are people. Well, I'll go to a prophet. I know he'll get me out of that. I went in. He was such a godly man. But he pointed his finger right in my face. You need to pastor. I wanted to bite his finger. God sent us there. And it was real fire for years because of the Catholic priest warned excommunication if anyone went to our church. God was going deep, though. You know what my job description was? Every day for 2-3 years, I'd go in the office, lay on my back all day in intercession. And then a prophet came through, another one. It's bad enough when I do it to you. When it happens to me, then it's real bad. But a prophet came through and he says, you're not here for these people. You're not here for this community. I was praying for revival. He said, you're here for you. Such edifying words. But if I hadn't allowed God to take me deep, I know I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. Some people are looking to get out of marriages. They're looking to get out of churches. They're looking to get out of communities. And there's just such shallow people. And particularly when you get older, you can keep preaching the same things because you're not getting fresh bread. You're not getting fresh oil. You're not going deeper. And I want to say this, until the day we depart out of our human bodies, we can always go deeper. How many want to go deeper? When I'm talking about a foundation, you got to dig deep by the grace of God, and He digs in you so you can dig through Him. Say, this person's got a PhD. So what? It didn't exist in the Bible. Do you know God? Do you have the power of God? Do you have fruit that remains? So, it's like a man which built his house, and he dig deep. Notice this. And he laid the foundation on a rock. Not on a pebble. Not on something that's going to collapse. A woman told me when I was a young Christian, or young ministry, she said this, I fall, but because of the foundation that's built in my life, I always fall forward. Foundation. being strengthened. Here's the thing about leadership that's a scary principle, Pastor Jerry. If God is going to take a church deeper, He's always going to start in the leadership of a church, the very top. Because the husbandman that labors, Paul said to Timothy, has got to first partake of the fruit. So if God's going to bring a church into healing, the head guy's going to go through things till he comes into health. If a church is going to come into real faith, God's going to allow the winds of change and adversity to blow leadership on into deeper depths of the grace and the supernatural workings of God. Going deep, laying your foundation upon a rock, because when the flood rises and the streams beat vehemently upon your house, the local church, whatever, it couldn't shake it because it was founded upon a rock. May I say this? We can build something in our lives, in our families, in our church family, beyond this local church, in a fellowship of churches that hell can't overthrow. Because there's not a victorious devil except we build incorrectly. Now notice this. But he that hears and doesn't do it, he's like a man without a foundation who built his house upon the earth. Another translation in Matthew says, built it upon the sand, upon against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately, notice that, immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Sand or on the rock, and the rock that followed them was Christ. Dear ones, your personal foundation, no one can build for you but the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and your walk with Christ. And then as a local church, I want us to look a little further here, because when I was waiting on God, this came to me. The book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Notice this, Ephesians 2. Let's look here. Verse 18. For through Him we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God. Now look at verse 20. And are built upon the foundation of what? Somebody? Of the apostles and what? Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Where is your foundation as a local church? The reason so many churches can't grow and can't have hundreds and thousands of people getting saved and keeping in the body of Christ. And hear me, there can be outpourings of the Spirit of God in small communities. It happened throughout American history. And it's happening all over the world where whole villages are turned to Christ. I knew a village in Cambodia. They all got saved at once. Through a new convert that was a communist colonel who had life and death over the village. He told them he got saved and said, I command you to get saved too. 5,000 new believers, 5,000 people dropped to their knees and became new believers. And now he's the apostle over the whole area, former mass murderer. Built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. If you don't have an apostolic foundation, a prophetic foundation in a local church movement, may I say what's going to happen? It's either going to become a religious monstrosity or it's going to die. The great movements that lasted for centuries, modern, I would tell you, John Wesley was an apostle. A lot of the early Pentecostals were apostles. What happens when some of these guys died? Bureaucrats took their place. And God doesn't talk about bureaucracy and politics running the church. He talks about an apostolic and prophetic foundation. That's what God says. Now, people can say, well, that's not our position. Well, then your position's not God's position. I can't rewrite the Bible to fit into any group. Amen. Like I was telling one person there trying to check me out, what do you believe about this? I said, I can't change the rules for you or me. Hear me. If you're going to be a church movement, you got to have an apostolic foundation. We got to get out of traditions that aren't working, but keep us on life support. We got to get out of ways of thinking that are so traditional, they make us think it's success when it's really contrary to scriptural success. Supernaturally, the Lord sent myself and then my family to Cambodia. And there was a man over there that I discerned the first visit was an apostle. Second visit, this is after only 3 years on the mission field, he'd started 400 new churches. And I said to him, Ted, you're an apostle. And you know what he looked at me and said? I never considered myself that. My God, if he was in America, his name would have been on every magazine. But he had such a humility. And when he finally accepted that, started to move in the authority of that, it went from 400 to 4,000 to 6,000 to a million planted local churches to the biggest revival per capita on the face of the earth, because there's an apostolic foundation and I'm the prophet to it. This is not a thing that people have titles. Because titles might make you feel important, but they sure don't make the devil take notice. I knew a guy at a church of 25 people. He claimed to be an apostle. God deliver us. I have people walk up to me. I'm an end time prophet. Really? Yeah. Yeah, your time is about ready to end. Nutcases. That's not apostles and prophets. If you have to advertise, you aren't something you're advertising. I went to church once. They said, now we need to know you. We didn't know this. Are you a bishop? Are you an apostle? Are you a prophet? What's your title? We're going to call you that. I said, how about Bill? That's what my mama called me. Oh, we could never do that. It's amazing what religious demons can creep through the door. And we call them brother. Sounds kind of like Bubba. But anyhow, you know, we can get weird, not even know we're weird, and that's weird. How many have ever been to Pennsylvania and see the Amish with their little buggies and they're dressed in black? Now, I know they're antiquated and they're from another time, but you know, we can get that way, and the only people we're talking to are ourselves, because we're the only ones that can understand what we're talking about. An apostolic foundation is literally Christ being laid in a culture, in a time period, among a people, in supernatural power. Because, hear me, to be apostolic, you've got to really have signs and wonders. Real signs and wonders. Not the sign outside the building, and people are wondering about you. But the real supernatural power of God. Do we want a supernatural foundation? Do we want to see the dead raised? Do we want to see cancer die and not cancer patients die? Do we want to see Alzheimer's healed immediately? Do we want creative miracles where limbs grow back? Do we want to see God destroy the powers of Satan in our generation? In our nation? May the Spirit of God move upon us to have a corporate foundation that's so deep, so much on the rock, regardless what goes on among the heathen, we grow, we flourish, we're blessed. When we go in and when we come out, God trusts us like He did Joseph with the wealth of Egypt to bless the nations. May God lay a supernatural foundation among this church and the churches this church is going to raise up. May God give us an understanding that things like general superintendent and presbyter and bishop are not biblical is not biblical terminology nor functions. And that's not against people. It's biblical results I want, not the traditions of men. And if something in me is tradition that's against Scripture, I want it eradicated. How many hear that? I don't want a flimsy foundation. I don't want a shallow foundation. I don't want to build something that the next generation has to avoid rather than build upon. May the Spirit of God give real revelation to you what a biblical foundation is for your personal life, and may God take you deep like you've never been taken. May God deliver you from every bit of sand in your life that would make you a person that would collapse under demonic attack and demonic pressure. And may God so widen the foundation of this church and Pastor Jerry's ministry And whoever's connected with you in the Spirit in fivefold ministry, that you can build an indestructible supernatural foundation that will change this state and change every place you're assigned to build the kingdom of God. Strengthen your foundation. Shore up your foundation. Get the ice out of your basement. Get the cobwebs out of your mind. Stop saying you're too young or you're too old. Stop saying you're not educated. Stop saying you don't have this, you don't have that. Stop making demonic excuses and lay a hold of the divine solutions that come from the mercy and goodness of God. Oh, hallelujah. Foundation. Do you want to be a people and a church and a movement with a supernatural, very deep, very strong, very Christ-centered, very apostolic, very prophetic foundation that will change the earth and shape the earth and shake the demonic realm in this generation for the glory of God? I can take you places, New York City, where they have hundreds of storefront churches. They're a waste of time because their foundation's wrong. Then I can take you to places in the earth where it started so small, and within a decade there's dozens, even hundreds of churches, because my God, they went deep. And they didn't build on sand. They built strong relationships where people had closeness to each other and had closeness with God. And they weren't believing nonsense. They were in the simplicity which is in Christ, and they had a heart that was on fire for God. May I say this, if you've gone through things, if I've gone through things, it's not to destroy us, but it's to take us deeper. Amen. I said it's to take us deeper. And here's the good news. Even what Satan brought in my life for your life to destroy us, he meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Are you glad for the founder, the Lord Jesus Christ, the foundation maker and the foundation taker and the foundation shaker that's bringing us where we've never been and working in us like we've never been worked in? God never used Moses till he was 80. No retirement, just refirement. God said to Timothy, let no man despise your youth. So when God's hand's on some, what happens if God's hand starts getting on teenagers and they can preach better than we can and prophesy better than we can? Are we going to hold them back or are we going to push them forward? Because the youngest church movement in the world is in Cambodia. Most of the pastors are not yet in their 20s. Dare we believe God to give us new methodologies? Hallelujah. Dare we believe God to give us new strategies? Dare we believe God to make our foundation so deep that others can build upon us and we can pour into others? And like Peter, such as I have, I give unto you. May the Spirit of God raise up a people in this generation that go deeper than ever before for the glory of God. May God make this church established upon the rock. May God make this place apostolic in reality, not in fantasy. May God make this church apostolic in doctrine. May God make this church apostolic in love. May God make this church apostolic in miracles. And may God make this church a church movement that establishes hundreds of churches for the glory of God. Foundation expansion. The word of the Lord would say to you, this is going to be a year of foundation expansions. This is going to be a year of the deep working of the Spirit of God. This is going to be a year. You get your nets ready for multiplication, the demonstrations of God. For I'm coming to do a new thing my way, saith the Most High God. For you're too small in your thinking, saith the Lord. You've got ways that worked before, but it's not going to work now. Because I'm bringing you into a modern realm of my working, because I'm not a God just of yesterday. I'm a God of today and forever. And I'm breaking forth in mentalities because I've chosen to do something among you because of my sovereign plan. Expansion, multiplication, kingdom demonstration. But your foundation is going deeper. And your foundation's going to be solidified. For I'm bringing spiritual materials into your building site to build a depth you know not of. No sand will get into your makeup, for the heat is on. The heat of my fervent love and the heat of my fervent grace, saith the Lord. I will have leaders of a different spirit, like Joshua and Caleb, who can carry the ark and not collapse. Vision will be enlarged. Vision will be intensified. Vision will be supernaturally induced. Because just like in the scripture, when Daniel fell asleep, the Lord appeared to him in his dreams. And so did he appear to Jacob. So God says, vision is coming in ways you wouldn't think. Because hear me, saith the Lord, my foundation will be built right. Amen. Everything you do go through can be something when it goes through the cross that causes enlargement in you. Amen? May the Lord give you understanding. Because I spent all this morning, all this day, tuned into heaven. And I began to realize I was going to preach something I never preached here. I just fully came together just before I stood up. Foundation strengthening. Foundation enlarging. Foundation being deepened. The psalmist said, out of the depth I've cried unto you. May there be a deep cry. Deep calling unto deep. Because the Spirit reveals all things, even the deep things of God. May God cause you as a people to have such a strong personal foundation. Hear me. Do you have a strong enough personal foundation? If God gave you millions of dollars, you wouldn't waste it. Do you have enough personal foundation that you can handle conflicts, demonic attacks, the worst Satan sends at you, and cause it to fall apart? Do you have enough of a foundation that you can be hidden and be a servant in the background so God could do things in the open that others get credit for, but you're really the source of it? May the Spirit of God give us a deep foundation in love, deep foundation in faith, deep foundation in grace, deep foundation in generosity, a deep foundation in spirituality. May we train our bodies to be strong. Hear me. If you're going to live long and carry some of the responsibilities I got to carry, you can't allow yourself to get 50 to 100 pounds overweight. You got to bring your flesh under subjection because the devil wants to give you diseases that God doesn't want to get near you. Personal salvation of health. Personal foundation of stamina. We got to get really ruthless with inroads of Satan in our minds and bodies because we can't afford to do things other people get by with. May the Spirit of God come upon you. No condemnation meant. Concern meant, though. May the Spirit of God come upon us and give us a revelation of what it means to go deeper. Because I'm telling you by the Spirit of God, God's going to take every leader in this church deeper this year, like never before. Because God doesn't want you in the shallow end. Ezekiel, start walking, not just to your ankles, not just to your knees, not just to your loins, but waters to swim in. God's going to bring this church into some deep places that's going to demand navigation in the Spirit. You've got to know the voice of God. You've got to get where you haven't gone and do what you haven't done. You've got to get out of old mentalities. You've got to get out of old mindsets. You've got to get out of old doctrines. You've got to get out of a lot of stuff. Shed that stuff like Paul, Acts 27. Throw it overboard because God wants to take you to your isle of destiny. God wants to take you where you've never gone and do in you what he can't because your foundation's not strong enough. God, why didn't you do this when I was 40? Because you'd have died. God, why didn't you do it when I was in my 30s? Because you'd have blown it. In his wisdom, he works in all our lives deeper foundation. And may I say this, I know some people in their 20s that have a lot deeper foundation than some people in their 50s. Because they've said yes to the Lordship of Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Why are so many former drug addicts pastors? Because when they get saved, they totally give themselves to the Savior. They got nothing left to give but themselves. Foundation. Are there some people that will cry out tonight and say, Father, I don't want my foundation to be flimsy, shallow, full of cracks, full of mixture. I want Christ to be formed in me in a deeper depth so that God can trust me with His power and presence, so that God can trust me with doors that are so supernatural, doors that are so awesome. Don't say, look, I was a drug dealer. I was addicted to drugs. I had mental problems. I had venereal disease from a life of sin. I know what it is to have to get healed of hurts and hate. But I want to tell you, I wouldn't allow that garbage to spoil my destiny. What are you going to do with your sin? Are you going to bring it to the cross? Or are you going to allow it to collapse your life? Don't say your upbringing. Don't say your age. Don't say your race. I mean, how many demonic excuses is America going to use? We're the greatest nation in the world, by the way, and I go all over the world twice a year. But if we listen to the lies of Satan, we become slaves to sin. I'm talking to myself because he sure lies to me plenty of times. We got to walk in forgiveness. We got to walk in faith. And we've got to say, by the grace of God, my foundation's going to be the biggest and best the Spirit of God can make in a human being. I'm going to trust God to do in me what He's never done in someone else. And we're going to trust God in this church to become a church, an apostolic church movement that does what's never been done in the South in this generation. Amen. Or any generation. Hallelujah. You know, there's a phenomenal move of God in some of the big cities. Birmingham, Dallas, Houston. But how about the small towns? How about the small cities? Most of them, not much. Most of them, a lot of stuff that's going on that calls itself Christianity. If it died next week, it'd be a great blessing. But God wants that change. He doesn't want religious spirit. He wants His Spirit and His people demonstrating the power and love of Christ. Do you want to be on that type of foundation? Do you want to build something so strong that it'll go on to your children and your grandchildren? Be something that has to be discarded. You know, when Paul built the Ephesian church and he told them, I'm leaving and all these troubles are going to happen, wolves and all this stuff is going to go on, false doctrine. Do you know how long Ephesus lasted? 500 years. That was a very strong foundation. I have to really be hard-pressed to find any evangelical or Pentecostal church that's lasted 100 years, 75 years. Some that are that old are museums in the realm of God. May the Spirit of God do a new thing. Amen. Foundation. How many want a stronger foundation? How many want a deeper foundation? How many want this church to be prophetically what God has said it could and must be? Could we stand in His presence? And could we give ourselves to some prayer tonight for a few minutes before we leave? Father, no one else but me, I want a deeper foundation. No one else but me, I want a deeper foundation. Get out of the way, devil. We're going to go deeper and higher and wider and longer. Endurance. Power. Love. Generosity. Do we know that God is a generous God? I said, do we know God is a generous God? How generous are we as His people? Do we know that God is a loving God? How loving are we as His people? Do we know that God is a forgiving God? How forgiving are we as His people? Where's our foundation on these matters?